Hey, fellow Freedom fans. Again, David Allen Carmichael here with the Faith and Freedom Show. And I've got a story. I told you I was going to end up upbeat. I've got to be upbeat. Eventually, I've got to be upbeat. And I'm going to talk into my video here on the faithfreedoms.org. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a faith story. It's a crazy story. I challenge you, folks. This is really crazy. You know, I've say stuff that I say our freedom is comes in proportion to our faith. And I think that we operate in fear. And we do what makes sense because we've been given the ability, we've got the designed ability to survive. So we do those things that are pragmatic because it makes sense and we're rational beings and we have the ability to survive. The problem is, again, this is going to be the home of the free and the brave. And we can't be the home of the free unless we are brave. And so what happens is, I'll just tell you, to do those things sometimes that will save you and your neighbor, you're going to have to do that which does not make sense. And I'm going to give you a story of a situation where I was doing something that didn't make sense. And what it does is, again, our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. How do we have the freedom to do that which doesn't make sense sometimes? Do we have the freedom to go beyond that which we can figure out in our minds? Because ultimately, there's going to be a bigger purpose, a bigger plan, a better blessing. A way for us to be saved in our situation that goes beyond what rational thoughts can come up with. Even though they're smart, rational people, there may be a plan that's better, but we have to stop relying on the works of our hands, and maybe divine intervention is what we really need. Now, you're going to say, oh, yeah, you're a nut. Okay, go ahead. It all evolved. Okay, we'll call it evolution intervention, but I have a story. This really happened. I was, this is, now you remember, I'm kind of like the guy who's going around doing the crazy faith thing. I'm actually having, either I'm schizophrenic or I'm talking to God, okay? I mean, it's really happening. And I've been given a directive to live my life a certain way in spite of the fact that it makes it very difficult for me to get by in the conventional way of living. And that's a long story in itself. But ultimately, I got myself in this situation where I understood it was I was on a mission from God to help people. And what I was doing was giving them job skill training. I've said something about this in the past. I was given computer training. And in doing so, the way I got by, how do you give these people computer training for free and not charge them? I mean, literally not charge them. And I wasn't asking for, okay, at the end of the class, if I'm going to pass the hat. Well, you know, these people are going to feel guilty. They're going to feel this obligation to put something in it. And the whole purpose of giving it for free is because they can't afford it. I figure if somebody's taking the class and they're rich, they have the ability to be inspired to support it if they feel like it. But they weren't my target audience. My target audience were those who could not afford it. They needed the job skill training and didn't have access to it. So I was given this free training. And I wouldn't ask for money, and this could be maybe a 6-session course, 2-hour session, maybe 8-session course. I think the biggest one was about a 12-session course, something like that. But I would give this training. And what was happening is I would send out letters to people saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. I've got the, it's a Christian ministry. I meet their physical needs. And by the way, I give like a 10-minute soapbox time where I share my faith in Jesus Christ and invite them to basically check out what Jesus said. That's what I did. That was my shtick, okay? I'd meet their physical needs and I'd offer them a spiritual morsel as well. And so people would start to send me things. I began to get people to send me money. I had a guy who really was ticked off at me from Japan, sent me $1,000. And he wrote a letter saying, God told me to send you $1,000. I knew the guy didn't like me, but the guy was inspired. He sends $1,000. I mean, that's the kind of way we were living. And so I just continued on in this. And there's times when it just doesn't show up. And I was sending out these newsletters. I'd print them out in color, and that gets kind of expensive if you've ever printed out on a inkjet printer. You start doing colors and pictures and stuff, and it starts to get expensive. And I came down to about $90 to $100 is what it was going to cost me to send out these newsletters. And I had a couple of hundred people on my list. So, you know, actually it was a little more expensive than that, but it was, I had about a certain group of people. Actually, I think I had about 135 people on my list, and there was a good number of those people who I knew didn't like me. I knew that every time they got my newsletter, it ticked them off. The fact that I was just acting like an insane Christian extremist, where I put my family at risk, where I, you know, under the guise of being obedient to God, I lose my career. And so I get in the situation where I'm out doing something noble, yes, but just kind of nuts. You know, I mean, it needed to be done, yes, but it's just a little nutty. We just don't get it. And I was kind of irritating people. So I knew probably about 35 people out of this 135 I was sending to were people that would actually read the letter. And so what it was, I was sitting in my office and I was complaining. And I was saying, and I was praying. But I'm complaining. I'm in a bad mood. We need money. I don't have any money. Okay. I mean, I literally had no money. I mean, it might have had a few coins in the ashtray in the car. Or the coin tray, let's call it, right? That's what people use for it. They don't smoke. But I'm sitting there and I'm complaining. I'm sitting on the floor and I'm whining. And I'm saying, Lord, can I be off the hook? I don't need to send all 135 letters out. These people don't even want to hear from me. And I'm whining about the fact that I don't have any money and that people are despising me. You know, I was second guessing what I was doing. And that, you know, the more I would think about it, I knew I was doing the right thing. And so what it is, I'm having a faith challenge. Am I really supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing? God, why do you have me doing this job? It's hard. I mean, people don't even like me. And the people that I'm ministering to, I mean, they're kind of taking the training and running. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I'm not getting any notoriety. I'm not getting any increase in pay. My family's at risk. We're right on the edge, Lord. Why do I? And I don't even have enough money to send out these newsletters. I'm actually taking money that potentially, I mean, if you think about it, money that could go to feed my family is having to go into envelopes and paper. So I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing? Why is this happening to me? Woe is me. I was whining. I've read places in the Bible where people whined about that. Elijah went off in a cave and he was kind of whining. And so I'm sitting there whining. And then finally, and I know I got a bad attitude. You know when you've got a bad attitude. You know when you've mistreated your family or some friend or something. You know when you need to apologize. And I just finally said, okay, Lord, I've got a horrible attitude. And the Lord spoke to me and he just showed me, I gave you that list. I'm the one who made the list, David. You didn't make the list. You don't have this list because it's pragmatic. You have this list because this is the list I've given you. Some of these people that don't like you need to see your newsletter. Okay? So I knew this was true. But so I whined. And finally, I said, this is what I said. I said, Lord, okay, I got a bad attitude. But you know what? I don't even have the money for stamps. So I'm filling envelopes that I can't send. I don't even have the stamps and I don't have the money to buy the stamps. I mean, it's exercise in futility. So I'm whining about it. And my daughter, she knew, you know, she was 10 years old at the time, and she knew that dad's kind of in a bad mood. You don't want to go in the office right now. It's you know, kind of tense. But the mail came. She went out and she got the mail and she gets the mail and she looks at it and there's something with my name on it. And she knew maybe it wasn't the right time to go in the office because dad's a little moody. But she felt compelled that she had to give me this letter. I mean, she knew that, yeah, okay, she can put it in my inbox or she could interrupt me in my stewing. But she did, and she risked it. And when she came in, I checked my attitude, and I said, well, be nice to your daughter. You know, I'm thinking, since when is reading this mail an emergency? Okay, can't you see I'm doing something? That's what's in my head, because I got a bad attitude. But in my heart, I did the right thing. I exercised self-control. That's something we encourage people here to do. And I treated my daughter with grace, and I thank you very much, honey. And she stepped out. She closed the door, you know. And then so I sat there, and she gave this to me. She said, I think you need this or whatever. She gave words that indicated she thought there was a reason it was important that I got this letter. So I sit there, and I just set this. I took it. I look at it, and I about set it down. I actually set it down, and I thought, wait, you know, maybe you're supposed to read that letter. And I got stuff envelopes and I don't need to be just jumping hoops just because a letter shows up. And I realized again, my attitude's bad. And I realized, okay, humble yourself, David, check your attitude, open the envelope. So I open the envelope and it's kind of like in a thank you note. It's kind of almost a square envelope, a little bit rectangular, but not the typical letter envelope. And it's like it looks like a thank you note. And so I open it up, and when I open it up, there were books of stamps. There wasn't money in it. There were books of stamps. Now, I'm sitting here, I mean, I'm literally complaining over and over and over again and whining, God, I don't even have the stamps to put on these letters. And I don't have money for stamps. And if I had money for stamps, I'd be buying food right now. And I open up this letter, and what's in it? Stamps. Our freedom's going to come in proportion to our faith, folks. Stamps are there. And there's a little note saying, keep basically a word of encouragement. Hang in there. Keep doing what God has asked you to do. Okay? Somebody wrote, I mean, they had to send this in the mail days in advance. And right smack in the middle of my whining, the stamps show up. Can I tell you, it broke my heart. I mean, I just started crying. And I'm like, God, I'm such a wicked, unbelieving, unfaithful klutz. I've got a bad attitude. I don't know why you don't just smack me. And now the next day, or actually a couple of days later, I saw this lady at church and I said, you got to tell me the story. What inspired you? Tell me about the stamps. And she said, she told me it was the weirdest thing. She's never had God speak to her before. And she said she knew that she needed to send me something. And I was just on her heart. And she felt like it'd be sin to not send me something. So she was about to put money in this thing. And God tells her to send me stamps. And she begins to argue with God, just like I'm arguing with God. Or maybe she's schizophrenic. But she says, but God, this is stupid. I can send him money and he could go buy stamps. He can use it for something else. And God specifically tells her, this is days ahead of time, folks, send stamps. She sent me books of stamps. So, of course, I went and I told her the whole story of me and my wallowing on the floor of my office surrounded by these empty envelopes that I'm stuffing and whining about my situation. And she just literally, physically kind of collapsed because she said, oh, I'm so relieved. I was so embarrassed. It's so weird. And I thought, what's going on? So I was able to encourage her. Yeah, you actually had a discussion with God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who says in the Bible that he was walking in the garden with Adam and Eve with the breeze of the day, looking for him. Adam, where are you? And he was hiding. So folks, that's my story. That's my story of faith. Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. We don't really believe we had been created in the image of God. We don't really believe that we're accountable ultimately. We don't have enough faith to believe that ultimately there's a creator who has a desire to give us rewards when our hearts are loyal to him. We don't believe it. In fact, we give lip service sometimes in Sunday morning services and don't believe that he really wants to involve himself with those who are willing to trust him. That's our problem in America, folks. We've got an opportunity to have a relationship with the creator of the universe and act as if we've got one, and to influence and be salt and light to our near world, in our community, in our neighborhood, in our state, and ultimately to blow away the West of the world, just like the nation had in the past. And it all comes as a result, I think, of our lack of faith. So you have been listening to, hopefully that's been an upbeat story for you. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show. For those of you who have just popped in, it's weird but true. And I talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. I'm doing this for the Liberty Works Radio Network. We've got a bigger plan. We've got an ulterior motive. We're actually trying to not just entertain, but to inspire and to equip and to hold people accountable and to have ourselves be held accountable for those things that we need to do. Are we going to take our country back, folks? Let's roll. What are we going to do? Don't be caught up with the in-flight entertainment. Our plane's in a nosedive. Let's roll. What are we going to do? It's not just going to affect us. It's going to affect others. This plane is nosediving with a target in mind. Somebody's got not your best interest in mind. There's somebody who'd like to steal, kill, and destroy. And of course, we've got something to do. So let's roll. Tomorrow we're going to come back. Hopefully I have some interviews. I will follow up to see what the legislators are doing and what they're thinking. What is motivating them behind their activities with regard to this in-flight entertainment? Check out our website, faithfreedoms.org. By the way, you can read some of these stories. I've got an ebook at faithfreedoms.org available for you for free.